Where's all the plastics from the same gym class?
Where are the plastics?
13 Royalty. If North Shore was Us Weekly, they would always be on the cover.
That one there, that's Karen Smith. She is one of the dumbest girls you will ever meet. Damien sat next to her in English last year.
She asked me how to spell orange.
That little one? It's Gretchen Wieners.
She's totally rich because her dad invented toaster strudel.
Gretchen Wieners knows everybody's business. She knows everything about everyone.
That's why her hair is so big. It's full of secrets.
Hey, hey, what's happening?
And evil takes a human form in Regina George.
Don't be fooled, because she may seem like your typical selfish, backstabbing, slut-faced hoe bag, but in reality, she is so much more than that.
She's the queen bee, a star. Those other two are just her little workers.
Regina George. How do I even begin to explain Regina George?
Hello, welcome to the extra credits of Mean Girls, Making Fetch Happen, and Glen Coco. You go, Glen Coco!
You go, Glen Coco.
And I'm for Gretchen Wieners. Bye.
Bye. I'm Trey.
And I'm Kelsey.
So today we are discussing Mean Girls. We are discussing the 2004 film.
Yeah.
We're talking about the 2024 film, which is a remake of the Mean Girls musical. Just a mega Mean Girls episode today.
Yes. Yeah.
How are you feeling?
We
both sound terrible.
Yeah. Aside from the movie, feeling terrible. We are unofficially sponsored by Pedialyte.
Yes.
And Throat Coat Tea, which I'm not even sure if it works, but I like the taste.
Yeah.
And if you can't tell, we're a little sick today, but we're pushing through to talk about Mean Girls.
Yes. I feel awful. I feel like this would be a good time to insert a Karen. I'm sick.
Much like Karen.
I got Kelsey sick. I've been sick the entire week at school, and now this is your first real day. So you're really pushing through today.
Yeah. I thought it was just a cough yesterday, and I thought I was like tougher than Trey, you know, because he had been sick for a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just hit me today. So
it's been a Phantom Thread household, honestly.
It really has.
You've just been taking care of me. I've been sleeping on the couch watching 4 movies a day. I try to make up for my watch list on my sick days. Like our Letterboxd, like I think we're gonna hit 50 movies this month, which is insane.
Just because we're both like on the couch.
I've been trying to watch all the 2023 like blockbusters that I just know aren't gonna be good, and some of them have been some surprises.
Good.
I hated Hunger Games.
Yeah,
which we can talk about today because it was a sort of
a
musical.
Rough, set.
Yes, very tough. But we're also the Hunger Games generation.
Yeah, side. We love Hunger Games, but why make a remake about President Snow?
I
know it's a book, but it just, why do that?
Hot Snow, problematic. Okay. Yeah. I don't mind saying and using that word when it comes to that. Very odd choice. And we can talk about some of the movies that we've been watching the past few weeks, maybe on today's episode. But first off, Mean Girls. So you have the stronger relationship to this now franchise, I guess.
Do.
So what did you think about this new 2024 iteration before we get into our deep dive of the 2004 movie?
Yeah. So I was excited. I actually really didn't know anything about it. I think we were at the theaters watching a different movie and saw a trailer for the new Mean Girls. And I turned to you and said, there's a new Mean Girls. Like I just hadn't been following the movie news.
I think it hit me in a similar way. Yeah.
Yeah. And you were like, yes. But so that was the extent of kind of both of our knowledge. And I saw the actor, and I apologize because I don't know any of the actors' names. We just saw the movie. But who plays Regina George? And I was like, oh, I know her from
Renee Rapp,
the HBO show. So there are a few like familiar faces, but ultimately I was just like, I'm excited to go to the movies just to see a reimagined version of Mean Girls that I have a relationship to as like the teen comedy from 2004.
And we like prepped for it too. We watched Mean Girls 2004 before going to see it.
Well, it's why we're doing the Patreon episode.
Exactly. Yeah. And we revisited a couple teen classics that we love, like Clueless,
which
revisiting that movie, good. I was like, oh, this is a masterpiece in comparison to a lot of teen comedies. But yeah,
really
I went into
smart,
it really excited as well.
Yeah. So I feel like it was mostly a marketing issue maybe for me because I didn't go in with high expectations, but number one, I didn't know it was a musical and that's just like on me. But I think from the trailer, it didn't have any sort of musical hints in there, right? At least at the theaters for the trailer that we saw.
Yeah.
But I saw online, like, it was a tweet and it said that the new Mean Girls was a musical and, like, I don't know if it was necessary. And I was like, oh my God, it's a musical. I have to keep this secret from Trey so I can watch his face when his song erupts during the movie. But then you found out like a couple hours later and you're like, it's a musical?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So I went in like, you know, I'm not a huge musical person.
Yeah.
Especially contemporary musicals, I feel like are hard to pull off that are live action.
Agreed.
So when we went in, I already like didn't, the bar was not super high for me, especially it being a remake.
Mm-hmm.
And I also didn't know that it was adapted from the musical, like you said. So I didn't know that the dialogue was basically going to be almost beat for beat.
Yes.
As the 2004 story.
Yeah.
That Tina Fey wrote. So I think that it's just like probably a me problem in terms of how I reacted to the movie, because I just ultimately felt like it was a little cringy. I had a good time, but I think even though the songs were really good, like, and the voices, like the performers were really talented, I think I just like couldn't come around ultimately on it being the same dialogue, because I felt like they were going to kind of adapt it more to Gen Z or make more millennial jokes that were hitting and, you know, just like adapt it a little bit more. But it was basically the same dialogue. And then I think just some of the musical things were cringy to me. And that's just probably a personal thing. What about you?
I think we're going to be using the word cringe a lot talking about this film, because I was left uncomfortable for most of it in ways that that kind of surprised me, because I just watched Wonka and I thought some of that, you know, was pretty cringy in terms of the musical too.
That's a good example too of how contemporary musical is hard to pull off.
It really is. And I'm not sure exactly what it is. I think maybe because the internet generations, which includes us, of like growing up with, you know, iPhones in your hands, everything is postmodern to you. Everything is referential to the past. And there feels like no new content or art. It all feels like in response to what's come before. And I feel like musicals are in that similar lane, talking to a new generation where it's kind of, I feel like this movie has a generational problem. It doesn't know how to reconcile this weird generational angst between Gen Z and between millennials.
Yeah. Well, it was like, who was this movie for?
Yes. Which I hate that question normally, but I do think that applies in this film.
Well, for teen comedies, it definitely applies, right?
Yes. But this movie felt like a Gen X or late millennial group of artists made a movie trying to speak Gen Z while also being nostalgic for Zillennials who were caught up in high school or middle school watching the original Mean Girls, who fell in love with it as a quote unquote cult classic. And this movie ended up being more for 30 somethings, I think, with some like workplace comedy stuff than it was for a younger generation. Also, we should say, like, I'm a teacher. Kelsey has been a teacher in the past.
I was going to ask, like, have your students seen it at
all? They've been talking about it all week. I've been interesting. You know, at work maxed up, like really sick, but the kids have just been seeing Mean Girls all week. And I work at a, like, an experimental public school where they're trying to do an art school while also trying to get like their, you know, obviously their curriculum in, their gen ed curriculum in, but a lot of them went to go see Mean Girls, and from the eighth graders to the 12th graders, because it's like an 8-12 school that I teach at, they really didn't like the movie.
Interesting.
At large. And they really didn't like the musical beats. And they were also surprised about the narrative remake, which is not abnormal for musicals. That is a thing, or remakes at large. But they just were really allergic to the film more than I was. I actually liked it a little bit more than you, I think. Like, I think there were some fine narrative moments that did feel like they were an evolution of the 2004 film. They did change up some dialogue, like in the bathroom sequence, when, you know, like Katie meets her two friends, Damien and
Janice.
Janice, thank you. Or there was even some good music moments. Like, there was the, I'm forgetting the...
Is it the Halloween song?
The Halloween party
song.
Yeah,
that was good.
Avantika, the actress who played Karen, did a great job in this movie, even though the Karen characters doubled down in her exaggeration of this like stereotype of somebody who is like quote-unquote ditzy. And I didn't love the character, but the performance was really great and that song was really good. But there weren't enough moments like that where I was totally bought into the film. And ultimately, I was like kept at a distance, not just emotionally, but like tonally. And then thematically, too, the movie is kind of confusing. I'm not sure the movie actually knows what it is thematically.
Yeah, it Yes, that actually makes sense. And that's very interesting that your students didn't like it, because
I just didn't think it was funny.
Yeah,
either.
I haven't asked my students if they watched it, but I think that that speaks to the problem you're kind of talking about, that it is something that was possibly made for 30-year-olds who had seen Mean Girls before, right? Because they're seeing a remake of the 2004 movie that was one of their teen comedy movies,
mm-hmm.
because it has the same dialogue and same plot beats and same jokes, like, frankly, of generations. Even though it worked in TikTok, this is like not an example of what modern high school looks like at all. And so I think that that was like a rendition of Mean Girls of what someone who is not maybe like has
a part of an internet generation.
Yeah. Or just like doesn't like know what high school is like. Like, it's kind of what they think how teens would be using TikTok or something. And it was kind of confusing. And then also, I think that the remake was just also like, I didn't know why exactly it was happening, because I think you said you liked it more than me. I think it was just because I really was confused about seeing the same exact dialogue beat for beat. And also, I think just coming off of watching the 2004 version that we did for prep for this podcast, and just because we wanted to see like what would new kind of additions to the script be.
Yeah.
The actors in the new one really didn't have a lot of chemistry.
Yeah.
You know? And in the 2004 one, I think they do. I mean, they have like heavy hitters of, you know, Regina George, Rachel McAdams, like, and
well, I thought they were trying to do that purposely. I thought they were going to do a queer storyline that was missing, obviously, from the 2004 film, which we can do today. I thought they were going to do that with N'Gori Rice's character, Katie, or Renee Rapp's Regina. I thought they were going to do something different, or with the new Janice, who was also a very good performance, who I think she did the voice in Moana, and
yeah.
She had a really good
yeah.
scene, actually. Her singing scene was excellent. She had a great voice. Unsurprisingly, because
and Regina did too. You went to the bathroom during that scene, but she had
My name is Regina George,
and I'm a very big deal.
Yeah,
I understand the comedy of the line, but
when she's like staring at the camera,
so
I'm like,
cringy.
Who shot this?
Yeah.
This is so uncomfortable, but not in like a fun way.
And it almost felt like also some of the Regina things were like meaner.
Yeah, but. What's weird about that is I actually think the mean vibe of this 2024 new Mean Girls is authentic to the new generations. And I know that sounds rude, but what I mean by that is even though this new generation is far more inclusive than like ours, the past one, I still feel like there is like if we take a step back and look at the 2004 Mean Girls for a second.
Okay.
When the middle schoolers and high schoolers of 2004 were watching Mean Girls, they were experiencing that movie authentically through the lens of hierarchies at a high school and looking at how to build social capital, which is to exploit other people's stereotypes and to ostracize people to then somehow move up a social hierarchy at your school to feel more comfortable, because like everyone's very fragile in high school. And in this new generation of social media, nothing is in a vacuum. It's all out there. It's all on the internet. And so when you exploit others, you're doing it through the internet, and it has much larger consequences. So it comes off as more callous and ignorant and really like cruel. And so that vibe to me about this new generation is in this movie, but they never fully investigate how that actually operates in 2024 through social media. And they do use social media in this movie, but not really showing the way that a new generation would use it. Again, it's like this older generation's idea of the way a new generation uses social media.
Yeah. No, that's a really good point. I actually didn't think about, but it would be interesting. I know, again, it is a remake, so the dialogue's going to be the same, but because they're deciding to include TikTok and deciding to make it seem like it is a Gen Z story, Mean Girls, it would make more sense to maybe that's something that was missing, like to go into the evolution of like insecurity and bullying, like within social media, not to make it a whole social media story, but to think about just how the 2004 version had moments where you see Regina's character, even like you see that she feels insecure at the end of the movie, and that's why she is being terrible to the whole school, and you see that Katie is insecure, and that's why she wants to be accepted. And So I think that that's something that was really clear in the 2004 version. And so it makes the characters more human and you're able to see like why they are behaving in certain ways. And I think that you're right. It does make it a little bit more removed and it feels a little bit more like shallow for that reason in the 2024 version.
Yeah.
Because the characters don't feel like they have depth. And then when you introduce something like social media, but don't kind of like add context, and I think that's a really great way to put it in terms of how different generations see social capital in their high school, and then specifically like even just talking like in like someone's being recorded or something, right? That is really interesting and something that could have been explored more if you're going to make an adaptation that is speaking to a new social situation, I guess.
It seems like an easy thing to pitch, right? Yeah. Because you're just like, oh, Regina George, but with an iPhone. You know what I mean? Like that, that seems frightening as a premise. And they definitely play into that, but they make the character so exaggerated because it is a musical, but it's not really deserved as much as it should be. And because they're so elevated, she comes off as almost like a Disney character in moments.
Yeah.
Or a lot of the characters like do, honestly.
Villain. Yeah. Yeah. Cartoonish. That's so true. I think that, you know, some people might be like, well, this is a comedy. You don't need like the heavy hitting themes like underneath it. But I would argue that I think most teen comedies that actually really work observe, because comedians are really good at observing the hypocrisies or the like how people are acting in silly ways, basically. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that you have to explore like what is kind of absurd beneath that. And
yeah,
this movie doesn't totally do that for me.
Instead it just like doubles down on its animal theme.
Yeah. So surprising they kept
or
that.
Or triples down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also this, I don't know how people feel about the main character, Katie.
I like the actress. It just is a miscast.
I don't like the actor.
I like the actor. It's just not a good cast for this specific role, I think.
Yeah. Well, actually, maybe I have seen her in things where she worked, but I just felt like she didn't have the...
We like her in Spider-Man Homecoming in that franchise.
That's true. Yeah.
She's good in The Nice Guys.
Ned. That's so true. She was the daughter, Ryan.
She's great
Gosling's
in The Nice
daughter.
Guys. Yeah.
You know, okay. So, but I just think you're right then. Maybe it was a miscast because I just wasn't, I felt like her and the Regina character didn't have a lot of chemistry.
Yeah.
Really the whole cast, the Aaron Samuels, another really tough performance. I think he was in like a popular like Amazon Prime show.
Jonathan Bennett.
Yeah. But a lot of cringe, in 2024. But
yeah, it's too bad.
We also can't spoil the movie because we didn't see the last 5 minutes. We had to go to a screening
all
for all of us strangers. And
which we haven't talked about this movie on the podcast yet. Just want to say All the Strangers, if it's playing at a theater near you, it's one of the most important films of 2023. I think
it was,
it's so good.
The only movie I cried in this year in theaters, I think.
No way. The only one?
Okay, sorry. Passages also.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah. I think All of Us Strangers is the most memorable cry because I don't remember a moment where I like wasn't crying. And I know that sounds dramatic, but and I know people who are not interested in seeing more sad queer stories are probably frustrated by the idea of seeing another one. But this is actually one of the most intimate, like devastating family slash relationship dramas of the year or the past few years.
Yeah.
I recommend it. Weird recommendation on this podcast, but it's a great movie.
Okay. So should we talk about 2004 Mean Girls? And then as we go through the movie, we can talk about like comparisons, different jokes that, because there were some actually really funny jokes in the updated 2024 version that I liked that Tina Fey added to her character specifically.
I think, yes, specifically Tina Fey and Tim Meadows as the principal, who we will talk about a lot today. It's also funny we get to add like the teacher commentary of it all. Like we get, there is a funny like education commentary running through the 2004 Mean Girls and the new one. Yeah. So yeah, Mean Girls 2004, one of the most quoted movies of the 21st century, I think, and arguably one of the most American films I've ever seen, really. As always, our Extra Credits Plus episodes are deep dives. So today will be a live commentary. So we will be discussing Mean Girls 2004 while watching it. And if you are on the main feed, then you are listening to the first 30 minutes of this episode. If you go into the description of this episode, you'll find our Patreon, the Extra Credits Plus, where you can join us on Living Plus to get access to the full 2-hour deep dive of Mean Girls and all the other episodes we publish on there. We just did a 3-hour deep dive on Phantom Thread, Blade Runner, Alien, yeah. Catch Me If You Can, a lot of great ones on there. So for any listeners who want to listen to the rest of this film, go ahead and hit the Patreon. Ready?
I'm ready.
All right, everybody. On play, we'll start the movie. 3, 2, 1, play. All right, Mean Girls. So this film follows its lead character, Katie, played by Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah. Who, I think she's great in this movie.
Okay, I have maybe a hot take about that then. Because I remembered as a kid about this movie being Lohan versus McAdams, which is why the 2024, you know, Regina versus Katie doesn't totally work, because that tension isn't there as much. And chemistry, it's like this weird tension and chemistry. Mm-hmm. But I really now watch this movie as a McAdams film, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. Yeah. It kind of is a Regina movie.
I mean,
movie.
She is out-acting everyone.
It is kind of insane. So we're watching Katie as she goes from homeschool to a public high school, and school in all teen comedies over the past like 50 years has acted as this microcosm for a very American celebrity obsessed culture, mm-hmm. and like this Western obsession with faux monarchies running schools with prom kings and queens and homecomings and all that stuff. It's a very funny genre about gender and sex. And this film specifically does a great job with those themes. And it's also like a very middle class, very white film, which we'll get into today about how well it actually is, you know, aware of those aspects of it. Which,
yeah, also some things that didn't age well.
Yes, which there are more than a few things.
Yeah.
So this 2004 film is directed by Mark Waters, written by Tina Fey, and it really follows the rise and fall of Katie as the daughter of, I guess, academics.
Yeah, they're both zoologists, I guess, but mom got tenure at Northwestern.
Which is wild,
yeah.
as I understand it.
They just, like,
it.
Skip over that. Huge deal.
No big deal. They have a great house, I think. It's a good house.
Yeah.
And we watch Katie go from the daughter of academics to one of the most popular plastics at school to then Katie just accepting who she is, I guess, as a person, which is this kind mathlete, comfortable in her own skin by the end of the film.
Mm-hmm.
So unsurprisingly at the time, this was a box office success. It brought in about $120 million, which is unheard of today when you look at something like Bottoms from Emma Seligman earlier this year that actually lost money, unfortunately, because that is a very good movie. And yeah, I think Mean Girls became like a huge cable television hit for us, like our generation. It was like always on TBS, which had a lot of situational comedy movies on it. And so this kind of owned TBS on a lot of nights. So I remember rewatching different parts of this movie a lot a kid. I don't think I actually fully watched the movie and talked about it afterwards until we watched it together when we were like 18.
Yeah. I mean, I guess
But you saw this like in its full length since the beginning, right? I'm assuming you saw this in 2004.
You only had seen it in parts. Okay,
I basically just saw the scenes.
Yeah, when it came out, I saw it fully. Mm-hmm. And then it's something that I had rewatched like so many times throughout middle school and high school.
Yeah, it definitely is one of the most rewatchable movies, again, like of our generation. I think we should zoom out and talk 2004 before getting into this movie beat by beat. 2004 was pretty wild. I mean, this is like the pop culture era of TMZ and like tabloids running the world. At least that's what you thought.
Paris Hilton
in your mind.
And Nicole Richie.
Yes. In American culture, it felt like it was just exploitation of celebrities in their lives. And I'm not even sure Mean Girls was like truly for our specific age group. Like the 9 or 10 year olds in 2004 weren't really watching this, I think. But I imagine the 14 to 20 year olds were, and this was a huge hit for them. So I was in fifth grade when this came out. So I was really young and I had like no cultural awareness of it. I had more awareness of Napoleon Dynamite in 2004, which was like a really quoted movie I remember in elementary school, which is odd thinking back on it.
I haven't seen that one in a while.
Yeah, but well, it was a big year for those kind of raunchy comedies with dry humor in some moments. It was also a big year for IP, like we had Shrek 2 and Spider-Man 2 was an incredible film, or Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, which a lot of people argue is the best Harry Potter film. I disagree, I think, but it is one of the best. And The Incredibles, there's a lot of big budget blockbuster movies this year. So I remember being at the theater a lot. I also remember the Walmart $5 bin being a huge thing at this time. I don't know if you remember this, but the Walmart $5 DVD bin was really big, and Mean Girls like hit that instantly in 2005.
Yeah, I remember I did own this DVD.
Yeah, I remember
seeing
it a lot.
We didn't have a lot of movies. I usually just watch them on reruns on TNT or TBS. But
yeah,
yeah,
I remember seeing it in a lot of people's houses. Okay, so I'm about to blow your mind, I think, and take you back to with some nostalgia. This year, 2004, was the first year of Facebook, the first year of Gmail, the first year of, of Razer Motorola phones. Remember Razers?
Yeah, yeah.
Remember the pink Razers?
I had a red Razer in high school.
I think I had the pink Razer because my mom got a new phone. And when I was in high school, I had the pink Razer. I'm pretty sure that's right.
Yeah.
And I think this was also the first year of the
mom.
The DS. Nintendo
the
DS.
Yeah. Wow. I never had one, but I was always so jealous of everyone slicing fruit on that ninja game. Yeah.
Yes. I remember the dog game. Remember how people my sister was obsessed with that game where you had like seven dogs and if you didn't feed them, they would get sick.
What was that called?
I forget. We might have to Google that. I also had a PSP that came out this year too. iPod minis came out this year.
Oh my God.
Live Strong bracelets. Uggs. Paris Hilton show, The Simple Life.
You know what's so funny? So I'm teaching like college students right now, and the fashion that is current right now is the same fashion that was popular when we were in middle school. Like there's like flared yoga pants and UGG boots, and it's just so funny to like see it come back around. Something that I
and gothic we'll talk about come back too.
Yeah, like obviously like the Billie Eilish kind of like Renaissance. Yes.
That is happening across high schools.
Yeah, but I always think it's like something that I hope doesn't come back are the low-rise jeans from this movie.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're just uncomfortable, you know?
As for men, I hope the those kind of like Hollister shorts, the cargo shorts that go below the knees with the weird belts.
Remember plaid shorts? Yeah.
I do, unfortunately. There are some pictures I need to burn of me in plaid shorts, virtually burn. Yeah, so this was a quite an interesting year. I didn't even talk about some other things like the Justin Timberlake, Janet Jackson, Super Bowl controversy, which was wild. Big year for music from like Usher and Outkast and Beyonce, which Beyonce's still killing it. Friends aired its final episode.
Oh, wow.
Lost started its TV show. And Vote for Pedro was like the most sold shirt at Targets across America. And then Ben Affleck and J-Lo broke up this year.
Oh, wow.
Okay. 20 years later, doing great. Yeah. Ben Affleck's now producing J-Lo's musical, which I don't know if you've seen this, but J-Lo has
it is
the
really
most batshit movie being made of all time.
Wild.
Yeah. I'll put the trailer in the description.
Yeah, please watch this after you listen to this podcast.
Don't watch it on your phone. Hook it up to your TV.
Yeah,
watch
make
sure
it's a full experience. I don't want to ruin anything, but like I'm confused, like is it a biographical cinematic experience? I don't know, but you have to watch it. It's a must see.
It's called This Is Me ..
the film it is called the film. Yeah,
not the movie, it's the film. Oh my God. Oh, that's great. Okay, so right now we're seeing the introduction of the plastics. I really want to talk about this because I mean, Rachel McAdams, we got to have a lot of Rachel McAdams conversations today. I'm hoping to rank her movies today. I like doing rankings on these Patreon episodes because we get to do live commentaries of the entire movie. So it's a lot more fun. We have a lot more time, basically. Let's talk Lindsay Lohan. So there is a whole Wikipedia page dedicated to the personal life of Lindsay Lohan.
I don't know anything about her personal life.
So
besides, there was terrible paparazzi, and
so
she just had like addiction.
Yes, I hope our longtime listeners know we're not interested in like the exploration of celebrity culture because ultimately it's like very sensationalist and exploitative, and like that's just not what our show does. And I found the whole Wikipedia page pretty inappropriate. And let's just say her childhood was exploited by Hollywood and tri-state media, and her life was sensationalized to make a buck. And it's obviously like had a large effect on her life. And now today she has, you know, a family and she has a child, and she's gotten away from the child and teenage star exploitation cycle. And like some people can't get away from that. And it is like inherently toxic, and it is very American. As for our relationship to her movies, obviously The Parent Trap, you've talked a lot about that, I think, on our show.
I love that movie.
You love
that.
Hey, how are my best girlfriends?
Hey, Mrs. George. This is Katie.
Hello, sweetheart. Hi. Welcome to our home.
Hi.
Hello there. Sorry for interrupting.
Yeah. Thank you for listening so far. And hopefully you are enjoying the episode so far. I feel like maybe if you made it this far.
They got it this far. They're having a good time.
I mean, let's hope. But to access our full conversation, you can go to the description of this episode to join our Patreon community, the Extra Credits Plus.
Yes. And for only $5 a month, you can get access to our full catalog of Patreon exclusive episodes. So, hope to see you there.
You guys, what is the 411? What has everybody been up to? What is the hot gossip? Tell me everything. What are you guys listening to? What's the cool jams?
Mom?